Have you ever had the problem when you're working on a computer or maybe on your mobile phone or maybe even watching television and everything freezes? And you start pressing buttons or you start hitting the keys on your computer keyboard harder and harder trying to make it work. Or you start thinking maybe you should use some other kind of method to see if this will work as well. And eventually you decide that the only safe and appropriate method to better try and solve the problem is to apply the well-tested and proven advice that IT technicians offer all around the world and try and turn the machine off and then back on again. The problem that's caused is the fact that the system is being overloaded. Too much information is trying to be handled at the same time. And it freezes, it crashes, it's kind of crying out, no more, no more, I can't cope with anything more. And of course, our human brains can experience a similar thing, can't it, when we're under extreme pressure. And we find that maybe everything in our body freezes because we just can't cope because there's too much going on in our life at the moment. When a machine goes through something like this, the simple process of clearing the memory by shutting down the machine and rebooting it is often literally the best way to clear up the problem. And I think God is doing something like that on that first resurrection day. I think by raising Jesus from the dead, he was creating a resurrection reboot for us all, bringing an end to all the old way of doing things, which had caused a crash because of sin. And he was now resetting everything. He was starting anew. He was rebooting the system so we could have a new and fresh and living way to live by. So this morning, I want us to think about this resurrection reboot and identify three changes that it was meant to bring about into the life of the church that Jesus was building. First of all, I want to suggest that the resurrection reboot moved the focus from us to him. Up until this point, people have been told that they must try to make themselves right with God by keeping his law. But the truth of the matter was that nobody could keep God's law. They could try their best, but in the end, the demand was too great because the perfect God demanded perfection, and none of us were perfect. But Jesus was perfect, and that's the reason why he was the acceptable sacrifice for the sin of the world, the perfect, sinless Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. Before the crucifixion, everything was centered upon the law of Moses and the attempt of man to try and win the favor of God through obedience to the law. But after the resurrection, everything was now centered on the love of Christ and how the favor of God was now accessible to all by grace through faith in him. It was a totally different way of operating. It was to be centered on love, not law. God had rebooted the old way because the old way had crashed. And he provided us all with a new, rebooted, refreshed system by which we could live. Where it wasn't about the law and what man couldn't do. It was now all about the love of the Lord Jesus and all that he had done for us. And I think this is symbolized quite nicely with the image of the empty tomb on that first resurrection day. And the question that the women were asking themselves as they approached the tomb. It says this in Mark chapter 16, verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so they could go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on, the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As far as these women were concerned, Jesus was dead. They'd seen him die and they'd seen his body being placed into this tomb. And they thought it was their responsibility to do what Jewish ritual required and to anoint the body of Jesus with oils and spices And so as soon as they were able to, as the Sabbath was over, they gathered together all their anointing materials and set out early in the morning to anoint the body of Jesus. On the way, however, they remembered that a stone had been rolled in front of the tomb, and so they started wondering how they're going to move it. They'd prepared everything for the anointing, but they still had a problem that they thought they needed to deal with. When they arrived, however, at the tomb, they found that the problem was not actually one that they had to deal with at all. Matthew's Gospel says this is what had happened. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. Jesus rebooted the system, but the soldiers froze. So when these women arrived at the tomb to do what they thought they needed to do for Jesus, they found out that actually all that they had planned and all the problems that they faced were actually irrelevant. The fact that they had been worried about who would roll away the stone was irrelevant because the stone had already been rolled away. The fact that they had spices in their hands ready to anoint the dead body of Jesus was irrelevant, because Jesus was no longer dead. The empty tomb was proclaiming a message to these women. It's not all about what you do for Jesus. It's now all about what he has done for you. Jesus had rebooted the system, making it now all about him. It's not about us anymore and how we have to try and win God's favor. Now it is all about him and what he's done for us by grace, undeserved favor of God. This is a far better system. The resurrection reboot is a far better way. And therefore, on this resurrection day, I think it'd be good for us to ponder as individuals and as churches and ask ourselves, do we operate as if God's blessings are based on our performances? Do we think that we can only be on the receiving end of God's blessings if we do this and we do this and we do this and we do this in a particular way that either our denomination or our opinion requires? Are we living according to the new rebooted way of operation, where Jesus says it's all about him? Or have we slipped back into the mode of thinking that it's actually all about us and what we do? The stone was rolled away without any help from any human being. Jesus rose from the dead without any help from any human being. Jesus did not need to receive any anointing from any people because he had already been anointed by his heavenly Father. And it is Jesus who is building his church. We mustn't get in the way of that building project by thinking it's all about us. We also need, however, to be careful that we don't sit back and say, well, it's not about me, it's all about you, Lord, so I don't have to do anything. We're in this together, with Jesus doing what only he can do, and then us doing what Jesus asks us to do because he knows we can do it. But in both cases, recognizing that it is God who is the builder, not us. So the resurrection reboot means that it's no longer about us. We move from us to him. It's also about moving from stone to flesh. Under the old system, a huge amount of attention was given to the temple, because that was seen where it was God's dwelling place. In the days of David and Solomon, the presence of God was located at the temple because that's where the Ark of the Covenant resided. So if you wanted to get up close and personal with the presence of God, you went to the temple. And that idea continued right up until Jesus's day, although the temple operated slightly differently because the Ark of the Covenant wasn't any longer in the building. The temple, however, was still the place where you went to offer your sacrifices to God. You went to the holy city in Jerusalem. You went to the holy temple in order to bring your sacrifice to the holy God. I would suggest that when Jesus rebooted the system, he changed all of that. From now on, people were no longer going to have to go to one place where the presence of God resided. Now God was going to go to the many places where the people were residing. And I think that is nicely symbolized when we consider the fact that all of Jesus's resurrection appearances on that first resurrection day took places in lots of locations, and not once did he appear in the temple courts. He met people where they were. John's Gospel tells us that Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene outside the tomb. That wasn't a very holy place, but it became a holy place because Jesus was there. Matthew's Gospel says that Jesus appeared to the other women on the road back to Jerusalem as they were running away from the tomb, having been told by the angels that Jesus was alive. That wasn't a very holy place, but it became a holy place because Jesus was there. Luke's Gospel says that Jesus appeared and walked with two people along the road on the way to Emmaus. That wasn't a very holy place, but Jesus spent a long time with them just walking and talking along that road, and it became a holy place because Jesus was there. John's Gospel also says that on Resurrection Day evening, Jesus appeared to the disciples who were all gathered together in a locked room. That wasn't a very holy place, but it became a holy place because Jesus was there. On that first resurrection morning, Jesus met people inside and outside of buildings. He met them in all different locations because the people themselves were in all different locations. And I think that one of the reasons for doing that was it was reinforcing this message that the focus was no longer meant to be on the physical temple as being the place where God's presence dwelt. But rather now, under the new rebooted setup, the Spirit of God was going to indwell them all, moving from stone to flesh, so that they would now become the temple. From now on, the Lord's presence would be in them wherever they were, rather than them having to go to a place where he was. The Apostle Paul says that in light of the resurrection, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Our church buildings are not the church. We are the church. A church building made of brick or stones is where the church meets. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he wasn't talking about stones. He was talking about people. Buildings are very valuable resources for the church to come together to worship Jesus together and to provide a useful resource for the local community. But I think we need to be cautious about calling the church building God's house, because it takes away from the focus that I believe under the new rebooted system is quite clear in the scriptures, that we are now God's house. Christ in us, the hope of glory in our lives. So I think the resurrection reboot moves us from having an emphasis on us to him, and from stone to flesh. And also it moves us from death to life. When the women arrived at the tomb on that first resurrection morning, and they found that the stone was rolled away, they went into that tomb and they had a conversation with two angels who said this to them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. On that first resurrection day, the women and then later Peter and John all looked into an empty tomb, and it sent this message to them. Stop looking at the place of death. Jesus is not here. He has risen. He is alive. Focus on that truth. The resurrection is about moving from death to life. So why are you looking for living things in the place of the dead? And in a similar way, whenever we are tempted to go back to our old way of life that we were living and the way we were thinking and behaving before we met Jesus, I think the same message is conveyed to us by the Spirit. For he will say to us, why are you looking in the place of death? Jesus is not there. Why are you trying to find abundant life that Jesus brings by looking back to the place where you were spiritually dead? Jesus brought us out of the kingdom of darkness to bring us into his glorious kingdom of light. Because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice, he paid the price for our sin through his death. And now, because Jesus has conquered death and been raised to life, we now have a new life in Jesus because of our relationship with him. The Apostle Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. We have been rebooted when we receive Jesus into our lives. We've been born again, or born from above. Our sin is forgiven and we've received God's Holy Spirit within us. And now we are called to be witnesses for him in this world until the day that the Lord calls us to be with him for all eternity. All this means that the old way of life that we used to live under the old system, where we were more focused on ourselves, which ultimately was leading us to death, none of that is any longer relevant to us. We're not meant to be thinking and behaving like we did before we were followers of Christ, because that old system caused us to freeze, to crash because of our sin. That was not the way that God intended. Instead, he has rebooted the system through his resurrection, and we have now been given the mandate to not to live for ourselves, but to live for Christ and to embrace all the benefits that he brings to us because of his resurrection. So the Apostle Paul teaches in Ephesians 4 these words: you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on your new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is a new way to operate that leads to the new life that Jesus offers, says Paul, and we need to put it on. And as we do, we need to put off the old way of life, to count it as being dead and replace it with this far better rebooted system. And so therefore I suggest that I think it's a good practice for us on Resurrection Day, that if we are Christians today, to ask ourselves, are we living lives in the light of his resurrection? Or are we still living much the same as we were before we asked Jesus into our lives? Are we thinking, acting, and reacting in a way that God says is appropriate for someone who is following and someone who is representing Jesus in this world? Let's remember, when it comes to the resurrection, the message is that we have moved from death to life, and therefore we've moved from captivity to freedom.
Okay. Let's go. Freddie once sang that he wants to break free. That pretty much captures the mood, you'll agree. No hugs, haircuts, or holidays for over a year. The pubs and shops shut. No raucous cheer of fans at the game, of kids at school. Stay home, mask on, 2 meter rule. But the lockdowns, the measures, they're not without cause. They've been there because death just will not pause its assault on us all through this miserable virus. Death is the reason they've had to require us to not see our family or friends for so long. It's death that's the problem. That's what's gone wrong. So here then is the issue, you see. When all this is over, when they say, you are free, when we rip off our masks and we hug once again, when we dance and we sing and we gather with friends, I can't wait. But hold on, because despite no restrictions, death hasn't gone. Virus or not, death wins the day, which kind of dampens our hip hip hooray. Unless there was a way which we could be free from even the grip of death's tyranny. But how, you may ask, can we beat the Grim Reaper? Well, that is the wonderful message of Easter. Jesus, Son of God, came to earth as a man. The Word became flesh. It was always God's plan. And the reason he came was to die for our sin, to swap places with us so that we could begin the life we were made for, free from our shame. At the cross, Jesus took on himself all our blame, the perfect one coming to die in our place so that for all who trust him, they're given God's grace. But the message of Easter doesn't end there. Jesus died, he was buried, but no one could prepare for what happened next. He rose from the dead, meaning death no longer has to fill us with dread, because on that Easter Sunday, Jesus broke free. He rose from the grave, so that if you believe that Jesus died in your place and then rose, then listen to this, here's how it goes. You too no longer have to fear death, whenever it is that you take your last breath, because Jesus has beaten it. Here's your guarantee. Come to Jesus this Easter, believe, and be free.
What a great message. In that wonderful resurrection hymn that we sang earlier, Thine Be the Glory, there's a lovely phrase in its chorus that says this, endless is the victory thou, O death, has won. Christ's resurrection is always a victory to celebrate because he's moved us from death to life. It also has another lovely phrase in one of its verses. It says this, lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. That's a great mission statement for the church, isn't it? Scattering fear and gloom in Jesus' name. That hymn also suggests how the church should respond to the resurrection. One of the verses says this, let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth, death hath lost its sting. Showing respect and honour and reverence towards Christ does not mean that the church always has to be solemn, focusing on the death of Jesus. We've only got to read Revelation chapter 5 and Revelation chapter 7 and see that in heaven, hymns of triumph are being sung to the Lamb who was slain because he's now ascended and seated at the right hand of the Father. That's what worship in heaven is like. And maybe we need a little bit of heaven to come down on earth in our worship. Just as Jesus taught us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I want to emphasize that I am not denying the importance of the cross of Christ. And I'm also not diminishing the suffering that Christ went through to bring about our salvation. What I'm trying to encourage us to do is to recognize that the old covenant was all about death. And when Jesus died, he fulfilled the requirements of that old covenant. And then he established the new covenant in his blood. And the first thing that he did under this new covenant was to rise from the dead to give us new life in him. And I think that's something that the church needs to celebrate perhaps a little bit more often than it does. Not just in the words of worship that we sing on a Sunday, but also through the way that we live every day. Living in the light of the resurrection. Christ has rebooted the system so that the church can be a living thing of vibrancy and enthusiasm and passionate celebration of the fact that Jesus is alive and forgiveness and eternal life is now an offer in his name for those who will choose to ask him to become their saviour. And we can then be a positive and living example to the dying world that a life in Christ is far better than a life without him. Because of Jesus, we have moved from death to life. Because of Jesus, he has moved his presence from stone to flesh. Now Christ is in us. Because of Jesus, we've moved from it being all about us to it being all about him. It's all about what he has done, and not about what we do. And may God on this resurrection day give us the joy of his resurrection and enable us to roll away the stone of anything in our life that is preventing us from experiencing and expressing that joy in Jesus' name. Amen.